This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is, should real estate investors get a real estate license? This is a good topic, but before we get started, you know, the last Fun Fact Friday, we didn't have an update, so I thought I'd give you a more current update here on some of the things that are going on in my world. A lot of things are changing. I think I'd mentioned to you that we are looking at very possibly converting some of our Memphis units to special needs housing, and I'm still trying to make contacts, trying to get that determined or not. It's taken a little bit longer than I thought. If it doesn't happen soon, I probably will just open them up for regular rentals. But I am trying to talk to different agencies and different groups that handle this kind of thing to see if this is something that will fly in Memphis. Some updates on things in Indianapolis. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on there. Closed circuit TVs are the bomb, man. If you are an out-of-state investor, great idea to have, especially if it's an apartment building, because we have real good coverage right now. I can just look on my phone and check things out. Sometimes if I get a report that something happened, I can look back on past tapes and find that if it wasn't too far back. I can find that time and where it happened, and sometimes get a good little video or, you know, individual photos of things that happened that, you know, might be important in terms of maybe possibly having to evict a tenant or finding about people entering the building that aren't tenants and things of that nature. So we found out our front door wasn't locking well. And, you know, everybody opens it with a key, and I thought, okay, this is good and secure. But if you just pull it a certain way, it all of a sudden it opened. And so at 3 a.m, we had prostitute and her pimp come in and go down to our basement and do some drugs. So that was not good. And so we have fixed the door since then. So thanks to closed circuit TV, we're just making things roll in here. So other things, house mom, been going really good. You know, got to be careful though, because yeah, the problem is if you're not there to watch them, they can sometimes get a little bit heady. And I found, you know, some certain vendors that I've hired remotely that, you know, that were being bossed around by the house mom, and they're really directly working for me. And so there's some issues there. But so far, it's still going okay. We also have some units. I mentioned Airbnb. It's been great. We have been totally booked up on our Airbnb, and it's been good income, double what we would have received if we had rented those units out, the regular lease way, upgrading some units to be used for Airbnb or to ask a higher rent, like a higher level of kind of like a deluxe model apartment. And so we're looking at doing that as well, and asking, you know, maybe $100 more per unit. So we're looking at that right now. I'm also changing my property manager. I've been trying my best to work with the existing property manager I've had since I purchased the 22 unit there. It looks like it's just going to work out better that we part company here. I'll probably go over it in another episode as to details and the kinds of issues that were involved there. But good education. But I've got a new firm that's a lot more professional, and I think is going to help us to get that higher level of tenant that we've been seeking out. So those are some quick updates for you there. Let's move into our topic here. Should real estate investors get a real estate license? This is one of those areas that there's no right answer because I know people that are extremely successful real estate investors who don't have a real estate license. And I know other people that are also extremely successful real estate investors that do have them. And you have people on either side that say, hey, you know, this has really helped my business. It's helped my real estate investing. And there's others that say, I'm so glad I don't have a real estate license because, well, I'll go into what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lay out some pros and cons here, because this is funny because when I first started investing seriously, this is the first thing I thought I should do. I should get my real estate license because, you know, I'll be more professional and people will probably say, oh, you know, he's a broker or he's an agent. And so he knows more. Well, and I got all this stuff and I was studying for it and starting out. And then as I started to talk to some investors, people were saying, why are you doing that? This is why I'm presenting this, because you may be in that stage where you're thinking maybe I should be or maybe I shouldn't be. And there are some good pros and cons on either side. And that's exactly why I'm doing this episode, because I think it's something you should weigh out. And I don't think I necessarily covered every single pro and con, but I think that at least I think I hit the key ones that you need to be aware of. So let's start with the pros first, the positive reasons for doing that. Number one seems to be you'll make more money. Okay, there are some agents, you know, just general agents that are making a lot of money per year just on their commissions for selling homes. In some cases, you may actually want to be a listing or a buyer's agent because let's say you have a property that's worth $1 million. If you were the only agent involved with that, you would get 6%, okay, as a commission. Okay, so that's $60,000 you could get for a sale of a property if you're the only agent. If there's a buyer and a seller agents on it, you're going to make at least 3%. So that would be $30,000. So that's just for being an agent, okay? You're not having to put anything into this property. You're not investing in it. You're not doing anything. You just sold it or you did the transaction for a purchase. So that's one that seems to come out. A lot of people say you'll make a lot more money. I think that, you know, that sounds like a good argument, almost like being a wholesaler to a certain degree. So that's one, you'll make more money. Another one, you get excellent training and education. You'll know state and local real estate law and regulations better than some investors that don't really have that kind of background. So you'll know some extra things there. You'll also have access to the MLS, which is listed as one of the key benefits, okay? Now, again, it's only in the state that you're licensed. So if I were an agent, and this is one of the reasons why I didn't do it as well, is that because I'm in California, if I got my license here, it wouldn't help me in Georgia. It wouldn't help me in Tennessee. It wouldn't help me in Indianapolis because I can only get MLS for California. But if you're in the area that you happen to invest, then you know this could be a really good thing. You get the properties right as they go online, and you get easy, quick access. You can also list your properties on MLS, again, in the state that you're involved. That's where a lot of transactions happen. If you're selling properties, you'd want to be on there. You get to control your own deals. Being your own agent for your purchases and sales allows you to full control over your deals. You can submit offers and negotiate directly with listing agents. You deal directly with the lenders, the appraisers, the inspectors, the closing attorneys, and all of the parties involved in the closing of your transactions, both on the buy and sell side. You also get to control marketing, sales, and showing your properties to prospective buyers. Another benefit, you see homes faster. You don't have to wait for an agent, for example, to show you that property. Because you're an agent, you can get the code to that lockbox and go right in there and check it out, which is really pretty cool. When you find off market properties. You can both buy and or list that property, which is kind of cool. You can save money on the purchase price because you don't have to pay another agent's commission, okay, because you're the agent, right? So instead of, if you're buying that $1 million property there and you're going through another agent, you're going to have to pay somebody else $30,000. If you know how to work it, you can make more on a deal than a non-agent investor. So there's some very good reasons why you might want to get your license. So let's look at the cons now. Okay, number one, it's not necessary. Being an investor does not require any special license. Anybody can do that. You don't have to go through any special process. It's an extra thing to do that can take more time, energy, and effort away from your real estate investing efforts. It's expensive. Getting your license is a huge expense of time and money. When it's all said and done, the cost can be several thousand dollars with fees, realtor dues, E&O insurance, other fees. MLS costs money to have. You have to pay a lot each year just to have that MLS access. And the ongoing costs to remain a licensed agent are significant and are required to attend continuing education courses, which are required. So that's sort of a big con on that one. I mean, as far as a negative. Time consuming, I mentioned that. A lot of time spent, just as a beginning investor, especially as you're getting your pre-licensing exam preparation and all that stuff. It can take months to take the license, to get the license and prepare for it and so forth. If you're an investor and you're only investing part-time, it can take a big chunk of your investing time away if you're going to also be an agent or a broker. So that's something to think about. If you only have 10 hours a week, and you may use half of that as an agent or a broker, depending on, again, the broker that you're affiliated with. Education. Now, the education, you say, would be a benefit, right? I mentioned that earlier, but also the course to take and pass the exam to your license will teach you almost nothing about making money in real estate. The average real estate agent in this country makes below the poverty level in income and rents their home. They weren't taught to make money when they got their license. They were taught how to answer the questions on the exam. What's a leasehold estate? Who exercises eminent domain? What is functional obsolescence? Who cares? Memorizing the definitions of terms will not help you put any more money in your pocket through a real-world real estate investing, okay? There are a lot of things you learn that you really don't have to use, okay? MLS access. I said that was a positive. Well, it can be. As powerful and helpful as the MLS access is, it alone should not be the reason you get your license. There are several ways to get access to the MLS without having to spend the huge amounts of time and money to get your license. This is perhaps better suited for maybe another blog posting, but briefly, here are some of the ways to do it. You can get access through a friendly agent, if you've got an agent that is doing work with you. In some MLS systems, you can go to an all-day class and become a non-licensed assistant of a broker and then have access that way. Have a close friend or family member. They may even give you the taboo. Oh, no, the actual username and password. That's not legal, but sometimes it happens. Okay, so there are other ways to get that information, and there apparently was a lawsuit a while back. The Realtor Association lost, and therefore they have to open up the MLS to people that want to be able to access. So it isn't as big a deal as it used to be. It adds more steps to the buy process and sell process because you have to do things as an agent. And that also includes agent disclosure. You must always disclose to sellers that you are an agent, and that might hinder your opportunity for the sale, seller financing opportunities, or other creative financing. You also must have them sign a disclosure that states, for example, you're buying a property under market value and making a profit on the home. But if you're buying the house as an investor, you're acting as a principal, not an agent, so you don't need to disclose. Direct mail marketing also have to disclose that you are an agent as well. If you invest out of state and you're buying a property or selling a property, you don't get commissions, okay? So if I'm doing everything out of state, so that's why that didn't make much sense for me. If you're marketing to find off-market properties, your letters, postcards, all that stuff, okay, has to disclose, again, that you're an agent. loyalty to your broker. Now, when you become an agent, you have to find a broker where you can hang your credentials or your little certificate or whatever it is. And that is something that, that may be more involved. Some people, you can hang it there and you're pretty much on your own. Some, they have all these requirements that you have to do too. You may have to share commissions and other responsibilities there. They may require you to do a number of open houses and so forth. So that could pull away from your investing activities. There also may have a conflict of interest. If you sell many homes as an agent, you may be competing with your own clients when you buy investment properties. This could be a conflict of interest if you want to buy the same home one of your clients, for example, that wants to buy. And finally, as an agent broker, you may have to host open houses. And this is one of the things that look most discouraging to me, is spending an entire Saturday and Sunday sitting in a house, hoping that people are going to come in and killing family time and weekends, evenings, and other things. So those are a list of some of the pros and some of the cons. Yeah, I had a few more cons. It was easier to find the cons, but it doesn't mean that it's not a good move to make. Like I said, I have plenty of people, and I'm going to list some links in the show notes here of some of the people that have been on that are brokers and some that aren't, that both will talk about why it's good or bad for them, so that you can do some advanced work if you want to find out more about this topic area. So deciding to become an agent, it really just comes down to a personal choice, what you want to do. If you're a full-time real estate investor, it may make more sense. If you're part-time, I would say it doesn't make any sense. But I don't think it's required. I don't think it's needed. If you're an out-of-state investor, it doesn't seem to make sense. So there's a few things that are kind of obvious, but you decide for yourself. This is that's why I gave you this list of pros and cons. I know there are a lot more I could add on either side, but that gives you at least a good overview. So hopefully that'll be of value to you. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes, and I will have some links in there, like I said, to episodes where you can dig a little deeper on this. And just look for the episode entitled, Should Real Estate Investors Get a Real Estate License? So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.